Hello, hello, hello.
Ooh, okay.
It is.
Perfect.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast. This is a great time.
This is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
We're like starting to get better about not talking over each other in the intro.
Yes, we are. getting better slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. It's been a crazy week. I feel like, how do we even get into any of this?
I don't even know. Like, literally, this weekend was crazy for both of us. Mm-hmm. Sunday for me was absolutely insanity. And then today was also crazy. I had to call out of, yeah. Like, I had to ask my boss if I could have the rest of the day off because.
Rightfully so.
Where do we even start? Let's start with you.
I don't know.
Let's start with you. How was your weekend?
How was my weekend? It feels so far away already and it's only Tuesday. Jason, how was our weekend? No, our weekend was good. I mean, we're packing right now because we're moving this weekend. So we just spent most of our time stressing about how we were procrastinating packing and then procrastinating it again. So, and then tonight we're going to do more packing. So that's just basically how it's going right now. Laurel's teething. So she was up every 45 minutes last night. I'm like exhausted and it's just past 7:30 here my time. So
well,
that's where I'm at.
Well, that's good.
Uh-huh. How about you?
So this weekend was fun. Saturday, what did I do Saturday? I don't even know what I did Saturday.
I know. I was like trying to think.
It felt, this weekend literally felt like a week long. I don't know what I did Saturday. You know what? It's a mystery. Sunday.
What were you doing when I got vaccinated?
You got vaccinated on Saturday, right?
Yeah. And I sent you that picture.
Oh, I had gone to my friend's house for drinks that night.
Cool. That's what you did Saturday.
That's what I did Saturday night, but I have no idea what I did in the daytime. I still don't. I don't know. I'll have to look at my stories later and see what else I
do. It was probably a good day then.
Saturday. Oh, I know what I did Saturday. Okay. So in the morning, I didn't really do anything. And then it was my roommate's birthday. So we went to dinner with her family. We did an escape room.
Nice.
Which was really, really fun.
Uh-huh.
So that was good. And then I went to my friend's house for drinks. And then Sunday, we were going to go to brunch at 11, but we were too hungover from Saturday. So we delayed it to 1. We got to brunch. And I threw up in the bathroom multiple times because
key point
the night before. Not my best moment, but then, then I got back to the table and I saw somebody faint. And so I went, I thought she was just drunk and like stumbled down a ramp because there was like a ramp to the bathroom. And I was like, should I go check on her? And my friend was like, yes, for sure. You should go. And so I run over there. And I go, ma'am, are you okay? And she was like, no, can you go get, his name is Jack. He's at the bar. He has a hat. And I was like, Jack bar hat. Okay, let's go. So
oh, gosh.
I ran to the front. Like, I'm telling you, like the distance between the front bar to where the bathrooms are is so long. And I had to run this multiple times throughout this whole situation. So I sprint to the front and then, I get Jack. Jack goes back there and I was like, you know what? I should check on her one more time. So I go back to the bathroom and I look over and he's like trying to sit her down, but her whole body is shaking. And so,
oh my gosh,
my friend that I was with is an EMT. And so I was like, idea, utilize your resources. So I run over to our table and I go, Amber, I need you. She was like, oh shit, it's her day off. Dang. Like she's just trying to go drink.
Yeah. And
so we go.
She just got married. She's just trying to chill.
I know. She's just trying to hang out. So we go back there and she's like very serious about calling 911. Like if she says to call 911, it's an emergency. It's not a joke. Mm-hmm. And so she's like asking if she's okay. And she's like, this lady is like sweating and like she keeps fainting over and over. And so my friend Amber was just like, stay awake, stay with me. I'm here. Like, we're going to do this. And so I call 911 and Amber talks on the phone because she like knows everyone. So she's like,
yeah,
I work for so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so my job was to go to the front to watch for the ambulance to get there. And the firefighters get there and I was told to tell the ambulance that they need a stretcher. Mm-hmm. And so I told them, you're going to need a stretcher. They go, we're the firemen. I was like, fine, just go in the back. They need you. And so I felt like an idiot. That was nice. And then
you're just telling anybody who will listen, you're going to need a stretcher.
Get a stretcher. And so, so then I, wait out in the front of the restaurant outside mm-hmm. and our server decided this was a really good time to hit on me.
Are you kidding me right now?
The audacity of these men out here. I just.
Yes, all men.
He comes up to me and he says, I know your friend said you have a boyfriend, but I just want to say that you are intimidatingly beautiful. Sir. Not the time. First off, can we talk about that timing? Because
I know my friend told you I have a boyfriend. So I just want to ask, why are you talking to me?
I would like to know.
You could have just been like, you are intimidating. Full stop.
Well,
like, just,
you know what? Blame on me for not seeing this coming because he was like pouring our water into the cups and he spills it and he goes, I'm sorry. I just got so nervous. I spilled the water. I was like, okay, why are you nervous, sir?
Oh my gosh. Okay. For everybody who can't tell or doesn't know me, I'm like recording in the floor of my living room right now because Laurel is asleep in our room, which I usually record in. But so I'm going to ask Jason a question. Do you remember that time that that waiter at O'Charlie's hit on me while you were with me at O'Charlie's? That was ridiculous, Val. I told him that he needed to keep our roles coming, and he said he would give me anything I wanted in front of Jason. And I was like,
what did he say?
Literally that. Or what did Jason say?
Yeah, what did Jason say?
Jason was like, excuse me.
Oh my God.
And he would just say things like that and then walk away from our table.
I'll drink to that level of audacity.
These like roll and water refill boys at these brunch restaurants, man.
He was our server the whole time. And like,
oh, he was your whole server.
We were joking around with how I was hungover. Ha ha. And like, we thought he was just being nice. Like, we thought he was just being a friendly guy.
And you can just be nice. You can just be nice.
Yes.
And stop there.
Stop there. When someone has a boyfriend, is talking about her boyfriend to you.
Right.
Waiting for an ambulance to show up because a lady who apparently is a regular there is fainting at the back of the restaurant. Do not hit on one of the girls helping.
No,
she's busy. She's
yes.
Busy. So after he told me that, I said, okay, wow, thank you so much. And then thankfully, a little French bulldog ran up to me. So random. This is like so chaotic.
This is like a dream. Is this a dream that you had?
No.
Are you sure?
I swear this is real. A French bulldog runs up to me, is jumping on my legs, and I go, oh my God, a dog. Because I don't know what else to say when a man is being creepy. And so the ambulance gets there. and they go back.
That is the best thing.
So the ambulance gets there. They go to the back and they carry this lady out on a stretcher. This poor lady, she was so nice. And so she was able to like thank my friend from the hospital because mm-hmm. she knew like someone who was taking care of her. So mm-hmm. I wish the best on her and Jack, her husband, her lovely husband. They were so nice and so thankful for us. We got a free round of drinks. We got a free dessert. It was nice. I felt better. My hangover was gone. And guess what we decide to do?
This was like a spiritual experience. What if you go back there and they're like, Jack and his wife died here 45 years ago. Like, what?
What if they were ghosts the whole time? Yeah. Oh my God, no. No, we know it was real because literally it was annoying me and I'm not even the EMT. And everyone just kept coming up to, thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much. And we're like, I mean, what are we going to do? Let her die? Like, they were like, thank you for taking the initiative to help. What was I going to do?
See, that this falls on a terrifies me.
Like, it's kind of like, no. Isn't there a good Samaritan law about that? Like, you're not supposed to like, just see someone basically like, go into heart failure and then walk away.
That's I'm a like, whole nother
drinking my Bloody Mary. I gotta go.
That's a whole nother. I know, right? Like it's a whole sorry, nother lady, episode that we could have. Like just who, and I feel like I wish I could remember what podcast it was. I was just listening to an episode where they were talking about crimes that happened like literally in front of like mass groups of people and just nobody did anything because they all thought somebody was going to do something and they were all like murders or rapes of like defenseless women like just walking down the street and like people were just like mowing their lawn and just were like, oh, I thought that was her husband, or oh, I thought that
murdering her. I mean,
yeah literally.
I thought it was just her husband murdering her, sorry.
Literally, there was, I listened to a whole episode about it right before I took my real estate exam.
Oh, good.
I wish.
Nothing like some relaxing murder and rape stories to make you relax before your test.
That doesn't tell you.
So bad. So moral of this, wait, I'm not even done.
What? The French bulldog wasn't the end of the story?
No. We go and get matching tattoos.
That's right. Oh, but
it looks so bad now because it's healing, but and it has that stupid plastic on it.
Oh, is it a little butterfly?
It is. It's a lot thinner than what it looks like.
Oh,
but yeah. So we thought it was a nice day to get some tattoos and save somebody's life. And you know, I feel good about the situation because had we not been hungover, the only people in the restaurant would have been like laughing at her and not taking it seriously. Cause people were legit laughing. And I stare at these girls in the face and I go, the ambulance is about to come get her. Like my friend is an EMT. She knows what to do. She said that it was really bad. And they were like, oh, and everyone was laughing.
That makes me.
I was pissed.
I'm so mad about that.
Yeah. So thank God we were hungover because otherwise I don't know what would happen to that lady.
Thank God you were hungover, mate. You'd be hungover a million times more. Val. No, I just
can't. I don't wish that upon myself, honestly. But you know, I'm glad it happened for a good reason and I hope she's okay.
Yeah, man.
Anyway.
That's just insane.
And then today found out this guy who had like, I had argued with him back in November during election time. He was a really good person that I had known in high school. He was really fun. He always made people laugh. But yeah, we got in a huge argument in November and unfortunately he has died by suicide. And I found this out today. So I took today off of social media. I took today off of work well, half of the day off because I found out like midday. So I had to process that today because our argument was very heated and I just had to like, you know, be okay with it. But
well, yeah. And you know, you never know like what's going to hit you when or for what reasons. So yeah. It's good that you like listen to that. But I mean, it is a good time to say that the National Suicide Hotline has been like approved and instated. It's 988. So just like you're struggling like in an emergency and you can call 911, you can also call 988.
I love that. I didn't know that was a thing. So, when did that get approved? Do you know?
I think either it just got approved or it was just the anniversary of it getting approved. I think it just got approved though.
I love that.
Yeah. It just was approved a couple days ago. I think certain different states and different like local places have had their own, but there's finally like a nationally instated one. So
that's some good news to that very dark story. That
I know.
Sorry, I'm okay.
I know. We both made it to the Zoom this week, so we're
here.
Okay. Your tattoo is cute at least.
Thank you. Thank you. I love it, but I just want it to be healed so it doesn't look ugly.
Oh.
I wanted to do this transition and I had forgotten it for the past minute and a half. Bear with me. Okay. So I just wanted to say, like, that being said, with everything that happened today that I found out, you never know what people are going through. Mm-hmm. You never know what can be portrayed on the other side. And that goes for pranks and things that you want to pull on people. You don't know how bad it like scares them, especially in the moment. And just know that like your words and your actions do matter with everything you do. So that being said, let's get into what happened on April 1st, 2021.
Oh, I forgot it was
the unsolved mystery of the prankster stalker.
I don't even know like what to call. I mean, it's still unsolved. We don't have I don't know. This is unhealthy behavior. I don't know what to call it. It's not healthy. It's not a sign of a mentally stable human being.
Yes. So that being said, if you listen to this episode and you are the unsolved stalker, go get help. That's all I have to say.
There's a podcast about it now. So you have to reconcile with that in your self. You had ample opportunity. It's been 10 days to come to one of us or anonymously in various ways. And you have not.
Yeah. And so it was April Fool's Day, which I considered like, oh, maybe it's one of my friends, a family member that just really wants to freak me out for some sickening reason. And I was like, you know, maybe it just went too far and they didn't realize it was going too far. But no, nobody has said anything to me. It's not one of my friends or family members because everyone got concerned, which is not the reaction you would expect from an April Fool's prank because pranks are supposed to be funny and this was not funny. So although I joke about it and we do satire because that's how I deal with scary situations, that's just who I am.
Well, and it's your story to tell, so we can tell it like however you want to tell it. If you wanted this to be a really serious episode where we talk about it, then that's what it would be. But
no, but we do want to talk about like, because I think I got really lucky in the sense that this was not further than what happened.
Yeah,
so definitely. I just want to say that like, yes, I keep calling it a stalker. I keep calling it like scary, whatever. But I fully aware that there are way worse situations out there. And I got really lucky that whoever did this is not out, knock on wood, out to get me or harm me in any way. Hopefully it's been a while now and nothing else has happened. So
yeah,
we're hoping it's a one-time situation.
Yeah. But Yeah, I mean, all that being said, we did prepare. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, everybody. I have like the worst frog in my throat right now.
My internet also we prepared like, as that happened.
Oh, well, that's a good time for your internet to lag.
Sounded horrible.
Well, yeah, we have a like small presentation just to like we knew some of this needed to be a little bit more research than this is an actual issue, you know, people deal with on a recurring basis, so we want to like do that justice while we're also just like telling Val's well like our point of view of that day, you know, kind of satirically. What is stalking and why are we talking about it? Next slide. So this is like the basic definition. Stalking is unwanted and or repeated surveillance by an individual or group toward another person. Stalking behaviors are interrelated to harassment and intimidation and may include following the victim in person or monitoring them online. Which and that is according. Yeah.
Kind of what happened.
Yeah. And that's according to Wikipedia and victimsofcrime.org, if you're wondering.
I love that you cite your sources.
So these are just some little stats for you from the Bureau of Justice Statistics. So pretty official. 1.4 of every 1,000 adults will be stalked. 25% of those victims will experience cyber stalking. 37% of victims will be male, 41% will be female, 22% will be non-binary, 75% will know their stalker personally in some capacity.
Interesting. So what you're saying is if somebody knowingly plays a prank on somebody and knows that person and knows way too much information about them.
Well, if they're using it to intimidate you, then yeah, it's cyber stalking.
I hate you. Whoever did this. Anyways, let's keep going.
So, Addison apparently has something to say about it.
Oh, God.
So we're just talking about this because, like, very many crimes against women and people of non-conforming genders and just minorities in general. And I mean, men, like in this case too, but crimes that typically have to do with like more minority groups don't have as many like outlets through the government, through the justice system for you to be like reporting your crimes and seeking out some sort of justice. There are so many, lines that have to be crossed that are dangerous that shouldn't have to be crossed for these things to be considered actual crimes. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is with a lot of different things. So in lots of cases, there isn't much that'll be done if you try to report your harassment or stalking case without ample evidence of attempts to harm you or your property or threats of those things happening. Because of this, the reporting for these crimes is very low. So even with everything that we know from that last slide, the reporting is like very significantly low because in your case, Val, you wouldn't be counted in this report.
Right.
So between 60 and 90% of male victim stalking and harassment crimes are not reported. Between 50 and 80% of female victim stalking and harassment crimes are not reported. So you would fall into that 50 to 80%. And then we just think that's wrong. We want to share Val's experience and then talk about what can be done if you are in a serious situation and you need help right away. That felt so official. I felt like I was giving like a class presentation.
And now I'm going to spill the tea. Okay.
Yeah. And we should probably preface this by saying this is talking about like sponsorships. We have only talk to one small business about possibly ever doing like a sponsorship type of situation. Yeah. So that's not something that, like, I know that we might get some comments of like, well, are you guys in a database for sponsorships and things like that, like looking for sponsorships? And no, we actively aren't.
Right.
So we wouldn't be, our contact information wouldn't be anywhere, especially not Valerie's. If somebody were to find like our podcast RSS feed somehow, it would be connected to me and not Valerie, because
yes,
I'm the one who created it. So
good point.
Just wanted to point that out. This in no way is like a podcast sponsorship database found Valerie's information type of deal.
Yeah.
And if it is, it was against our knowledge.
Right. So let's get into it. The unsolved mystery. Okay. It was April 1st at 11 p.m. I receive a text message, and I, what's funny is I was just about to put my phone like upside down so I can like grind out 2 hours of work before I sign off, and all hell broke loose. So I received this text, "Hey Valerie, how are you?" And as a recruiter, I always receive text messages. Like, I text the candidates because they don't, like, they're so young, they don't answer the phones. Gen Zs don't like talk on the phone. And so we text them. So I was like, "Hi, good. Who is this?" Because I figured it was candidate. They said, and I have to read, like, if you're watching the YouTube video, I have to read everything because we're uploading this on the podcast. And if you're listening to in your car, you are not able to see this. But I do highly encourage, like, if you're listening and you're not watching, just go look up the YouTube video and like fast forward to see the screenshots. If you're a visual person, because I know I am. So they said, "My name is Emma. I'm with Darlin Lingerie. We are in Nashville. A customer actually mentioned to us to check out your podcast. So we did. We are interested in possibly sponsoring the podcast and maybe having you two out for a photo shoot." So, you know, a couple things from this text. They know that I have a podcast. They have my phone number. And that I do a podcast with somebody else, Allison, obviously. And we are clearly not in Nashville. Like, they know we are not in Nashville. So we would have to go out to Nashville for a shoot.
Yeah.
So that part of the information, you would have to know, or like listen to episodes, really look into the Instagram. So I was like, this could be a scam, but it looks pretty legit.
Because this person at least has some information about us and what we do.
So I was like, wow, they listened to a couple episodes and they liked it. Like, that was my first thought, was like, oh, they must have listened to the episodes. So here we go. So I said, "Hi, Emma. I'm so glad you checked out the pod and hope you love it. We would absolutely love to. Do you have a company number we can call and confirm this? I've watched too many crime podcasts lately," and then I changed it to listened to because I was just... "Don't watch podcasts unless you're looking on YouTube." So anyways, great moment for me. Not surprised.
One of my favorite things.
So I did some research because I was like, I don't want, because it's a lingerie store, I don't want to get scammed. I don't want to get, you know, sex trafficked, whatever. And so I look it up and I have the screenshot of the Instagram. So if you're watching the YouTube, you can see from the Instagram, it's very small. There's only 9,000 followers. It is like very not scammy, not porn website type ish, because I've had porn lingerie websites.
Yeah. It seems like a very empowering, like just local small business. Yeah. You know,
the other screenshot is the, like from the website. So it's this cute lady who, you know, opened to empower women and, you know, just like love your body. And that is so up Allison's alley. And the night before, we had just talked about doing sponsorships, like who to reach out to, because we do want to, you know, obviously, like Allison said, do a collaboration of some sort, like maybe not for compensation, but like, you know, I would have done a photo shoot for free. Like, that shit would have been so fun. Okay.
Yeah. If this was a legit thing and it would have been this actual owner and, you know, this actual business, we probably would have considered doing it, because
for sure,
it's a good business.
And they post, like, you don't see it in like the Instagram screenshot, but they have pictures of like plus size women in lingerie. Like they're like legit just mm-hmm. trying to celebrate the female body, which is just terrific. And it's right. so up some, like, so something we would do. Mm-hmm.
So like anyway, we both said, we're probably going to purchase from this boutique.
Yeah, I definitely anyway. Will in the future because like yeah. their lingerie is so cute. So yeah. So there's that. So they responded and said, great. So we only have a store phone number. We are a small boutique. We would have you work with a photographer that we contract to take all of our photos. I'm one of the managers and we are doing this as a surprise for my boss because she's been looking for a podcast to sponsor, but we would love to maybe get you started with our photographer today if you have time to take a few photos yourself. Okay. So this is where I started like questioning it, but I was like, it's possible. They just want to see what type of body type we have. I was going to pull from my Instagram. I wasn't going, like, they're not asking for mm-hmm. nudes. They're not asking for swimsuit pictures. They're legit just like saying a photos of yourself. Okay. So I said, we'd be happy to move forward if it would be possible for us to call or receive a call from the store number and verify. Also, we don't live in Nashville, so it would definitely need to be planned more in advance because I was like, we can't work with the photographer today. Like, you know, right. like, I'm like, you know this, but I'm going to remind you, we're not from Nashville. So they said, give me 1 second and I can call you from the store phone. Well, I understand you don't live in Nashville. To start today, we would just need 10 photos from you that are self-taken to see your body for the photographer. This is when I like really started questioning it, but I wanted to see like what happens, I guess.
That part, the language shifted to me and it was alarming because, sorry, city sounds, everybody.
Same thing happens to me.
The reason that this part was alarming to me was because like the language and like their dialect shifted, and so it went from like hi emojis, this is who I am, like,
yeah, like exclamation point after every
to, well I understand you don't live in Nashville, but yeah. like I think it was alarming to me because I was like, this does not even like, this is more aggressive or something, you know?
Right, yeah. But I wanted this confirmation, or I wanted them to fuck off. That's basically the two options I wanted. And so mm-hmm. I said, we also understand you want to surprise the owner and we would love to be a part of that because cool, right? But we would still like to verify it if we need to send pics. Could I ask mm-hmm. who recommended us if you know their name? Smiley face. I'll be on the lookout for a call.
And that's when we started looking into like, how could this boutique know about us? Like if this is a legit thing, how would this boutique know about us? And we found out that like the, at least what either Wikipedia or something online said that the owner was from Kansas City. And I was like, well, I live in Kansas City. So maybe somebody from Kansas City told them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like there were multiple avenues. Like we both have friends in Nashville. Like you're in Atlanta where it's very popular for your friends to go to Nashville for like weekend trips or girls trips or mm-hmm. bachelorette parties or whatever. And so it is very possible that like a boutique in Nashville could have been looking for sponsorships and somebody that we know could have like name dropped.
Exactly.
Us. Like it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's not like we live in another country or something like that. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. We're a few, like we're both just like a few states near. Yeah. So could have happened. They said, unfortunately I don't, we have just been asking a few customers one day and a woman recommended yours. Okay, it is a little hectic right now, but I have time for a quick call. This is when she started going back to, well, he or she, I don't know, started going back to exclamation points. And so I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, maybe mm-hmm. they were just busy and like the text dialect was just weird for a second. I don't know, because I do that sometimes too. I said, okay, awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. This is where it gets weird. So mm-hmm. I receive a phone call from a identical number to the store, except one number was off. It was the last number
at the very end.
The very end. Yeah. Instead of an 8, it was a 6. So when I first received the phone call, I was like, oh my God, it's the number. Because I had just looked at it. And mm-hmm. then a voice disguise person was like, hi, this is Emma. Like, you know, I don't know if you listen to like talk shows on the radio, but like they disguise voices really high pitched to like if they're telling an embarrassing story or something.
We have a podcast, you guys, so we know what a voice disguiser sounds like, or somebody trying to hide what their real voice is.
It was very obvious. Like, it was obvious voice disguise. It wasn't like, oh, like, oh, maybe they just had a high pitched voice. No, it was creepy. Like, that's mm-hmm. It was creepy. They're like, hi, it's Emma. And I was like, why are you on a voice disguise? And they were like, I'm not on a voice disguise. And I said, yes, you are. Your voice is extremely high pitched right now.
Right.
And she was like, oh, that's so weird. Let me call you back. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know. I was just like, what the fuck, honestly. So I call the store in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And a lady answers, and her name is Katie. She's very nice. And I was like, hi, this is going to sound very strange. I said, do you have an Emma that works at your store? And she was like, no, it's just me. I own the store. Nobody else works here. My name is Katie. I was like, okay. So I told her what happened. I'm not even going to like repeat it, because you guys are knowing what's happening. And she was
like, you're caught up.
You're caught up. You know what's happening. And so she was basically like, oh no, that is not me. That is not real. I'm going to file mm-hmm. a police report, and I highly suggest you do the same. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. Like, I guess from an inside perspective, like, it didn't feel as weird until I told her, and she was like, you need to file a police report. And I was like, you're right. Like, this is fucking weird.
Well, I think it was one of those situations where you watch all those things, like those documentaries, or listen to like true crime podcasts, and you're like, you know, think it wouldn't happen to you or whatever. And then this type of situation happens, and you realize that like the person who's waiting on a text back from you is like either trying to traffic you or exploit you in some way, or like something is not right, and they're asking you for pictures of your body, you know, and for pictures of your friend's body. Like,
So I texted them back, and I said, hi, they texted me after we got off the phone, and they said, okay, give me a second. I was too far away from the base in the base for the phone, and a customer just walked in. And I'm like, just give it up. Like,
yeah, like, we already called the exact place you're trying to impersonate, and they said you don't work there.
So this is the text that you guys saw on the Instagram. Don't have words. Hi, you just got yourself caught in our scam. Shame on you. The cops will be involved in this. Honestly, fuck you. I was like, honestly, fuck this. And mm-hmm. so I thought this would be done. It was not done. This is where it gets even weirder, as if it just, I guess it's just my life. Things just keep getting more and more strange.
Yeah.
I get a text from a different number. Hey, Valerie, I just wanted to let you know that was a prank. I do pranks for people, and that's apparently what they wanted. I'm sorry about that. Just wanted to let you know so you don't get freaked out. Sir, whoever, ma'am, I don't know. I'm already freaked out.
Well, yeah. And this is also just not something that you can just like do. This isn't Gossip Girl. Like, you can't just run around playing exploitative pranks on whole ass adults and not expect repercussions.
Right. Like, did you forget like how old I am? Because clearly this is somebody who knows who I am, or is knows me way too much and doesn't know me. I don't know. I still don't know. Mm-hmm. I said, who the fuck told you to do this so I can verify that before I call and file a police report? They said, I don't know. It's anonymous. I promise you that. Please don't file one. It was a harmless joke. Harmless. I said, it's not harmless when you are asking for body pictures. That's harmful as fuck. And what were you planning on doing with those pictures? Prank or not, that's illegal as fuck, which I'm not really sure it is, but I wanted to scare them.
Well, receiving, if you'd sent pictures, yes, it would have been.
Yeah, but we're not dumb enough to send this is why we wanted confirmation. Like, I wasn't just going to send pictures to whoever. And like, that I talked to later, which I'll get into later, basically acted like I stupidly felt for something. We'll get into that in a second. So they respond and they say, no, I was never going to actually have you send them. I swear. I'm so sorry. That's all I can say. I said, it's still illegal and I'm still filing for your support. LOL. What service runs pranks like this? What's your business name? Please elaborate. Please share with the class what your business name is, sir. Mm-hmm. That's not what I said, but for those listening, that's not what I said. They said, I'm so sorry. Please don't do that. I'm honestly so sorry. I'm done doing this shit. That line just cracks me up. I'm done doing this shit. I understand you're mad, but please like, don't file one. Okay, so clearly this is not someone just trying to scam for pictures, because had this been a sex trafficker or someone who's just trying to get some pictures of some girls, which you can just Google naked girls if you really need that. Like, we weren't going to send nudes. I was going to pull from my Instagram.
Right.
So it's clearly somebody who knows who I am or knows of me. I don't know. Somehow got my phone number. Not sure. I said, who are you? They said, all I can say is I'm sorry and I hope you accept it. Please don't file one. This is the last time I'll bother you. I'm sorry. Wow. This scammer is real sorry.
Real heartfelt. This piece of shit.
So nice. I found it in myself to accept your apology. Just kidding.
You heard it here first, folks.
So this is the last of the text messages. I said, if you have no way of verifying who you are or who sent you, I have no other option than to file a report. I'm creeped the fuck out that it was so specifically detailed, and I'm considering that stalking, which is illegal, and I need to report this to the cops, which stalking is illegal. So if it is somebody who doesn't know me, you're fucking weird. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. If it is somebody who does know me, fuck you. You're not a friend. I hate you because
you're not a friend. All I could see was like Courtney or Kim that says that in like one.
Wait, they do?
Yes.
Okay. Well.
Sorry, I just had like a weird Keeping Up with the Kardashians flashback when you said that.
Oh, well. Yeah. So, anyways, this freaked me out because, and for many, many reasons, okay, as somebody who has an open case of sexual assault a couple towns away from me, this was scary.
And this is coming from like area codes that are local to you. These messages are, so which as far as we can tell, the numbers are fake.
We tried calling them. It doesn't work. We tried looking them up. It just says landline. It's not real. It's an app. Mm-hmm. They got an app, faked a number, and then just did this. It terrified me because I'm like, okay, who is this? I don't know who it is. Mm-hmm. So all of my overthinking anxiety mind goes to the worst, which is ex-boyfriends or ex-perpetrators who have open cases against them, their new girlfriends. I don't know. Friends, ex-abusive people. I don't know. I don't know. And so like that whole night, I like kept closing all the blinds. I woke up at 4 in the morning thinking someone was on my porch because I'm blind without my contacts in, and I saw my chair on the porch, and it just scared the living shit out of me. Like, this could have been so much more worse. So I don't want to take away from like situations where this is more serious, but I also want to reiterate that
this was scary.
And whoever, like, if you know me, if you even just follow me on Instagram, you know I'm already a victim of sexual assault. You don't know the details of said.
If you would have listened to the first episode of our podcast, you would know that. Yeah.
And so they know that like something like this would probably trigger me, which it did. Thank you very much. And it wasn't funny. It just wasn't. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I'm very blessed that this didn't escalate farther than it did. But if you did this, fuck you. I'll say it again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I decided to call the cops and file a report. I meant what I said. And of course, I had to beg them to actually have like a case number and actually report it. They basically told me that they can't do anything unless somebody got pictures or money from me. And they were going to call the numbers. And I said, I tried to call the numbers. They don't work. They're fake.
Yeah. And I tried to call the numbers. I also texted the number because Val has friends who are lawyers. I have friends and family, like friends of family that are lawyers. And so we crafted a message that I sent from my phone just being like, we will be involving legal representation. Please like let us know who you freaking are. But yeah, like we never heard anything back. We never were contacted again. Like nothing.
He acted like it was no big deal. He literally told me, well, it sounds like some BS that some kid pulled and you're going to be fine. And I told him about the open case in another town. And he mm-hmm. basically was like, even if it's that, like, I'm glad it's somebody who knows you, because if it was a stranger, that would be even weirder. And I said, it actually scares me way more. I told him it scares me way more that it is somebody who knows me because.
And who has access to my life.
They have my phone.
You freak.
Like way too much about me. So I just want to say ACAB because this is not the first time a cop has disregarded one of my stories. And I just want to say if something had happened to me, the first thing people would have said is she should have reported it.
Why didn't she report it? Yeah.
Someone was stalking her. She knew someone was stalking her. Obviously something was going to happen. Fuck you. You know what? I tried to report it and I begged him to actually make a case number. I said, can you please? I stopped him and I was like, can you please just like make a report in case something happens to me? Please.
Yeah. And just have something fucking on file. Is it that hard?
Is it that hard to type on your little laptop that's in your car? Cause you're probably just sitting in your car. Like, sir. Okay. I know that some cops are like, okay, but they are not stopping the bad ones, which we'll get into way later on another episode.
Because
unfortunately, we have to get into that more, but, it's just very concerning because mm-hmm. this is not the first time again that they have disregarded one of my stories when I reported my second sexual assault one, because I was like, you know, maybe reporting it will stop him from raping someone else. They literally were like, well, why'd you wait 30 days? Well, blah, 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 blah. And it's been a three, almost 4 year battle of them saying, well, because of this, like, I'll get into the story later on, but like, because you said this, well,
it's just a bunch of like hoops you have to jump through to just try to protect yourself.
I literally got like, text apology from this man. And they said that because I said I wasn't going to charge him or like report him, that didn't mean that like I was probably making it up. He was apologizing. Like, what?
Yeah, he wouldn't be apologizing if he hadn't done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And same with this situation. They were clearly apologizing because they felt some sort of guilt, because obviously this is not okay, right, what they did. Mm-hmm. And they feel sorry. You don't feel sorry because like for no reason.
Well, yeah. And you don't like, I don't know, just for me, the amount of steps that had to be taken to like pull this off. Like you had to find that very small boutique in Nashville to try to impersonate,
right,
and you had to get like you know, fake phone numbers with area codes similar to yours so that your phone wouldn't like block the person from texting or calling you as like spam.
The voice disguise.
Yeah. And then they had to voice disguise themselves, like just so many different steps. And that's what doesn't sit right with me about it being like a prank. It's like, why would you go to that many lengths? And if it was like some sort of business, they would be used to people being pissed off at them. They wouldn't like text you from a separate number and be like, this was a prank. They would tell the person that, like, you know, hired them to pull the prank that you were upset. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if that were actually a business and that were actually the scenario, that person would have just quit whatever weird job that is and, like, not texted you back.
Well, they said, I'm done doing this shit. So I guess they do quit.
That's the weird, just so many things about, like, what does that. Mean? And this is the last time I'll bother you or whatever they I'm said. Like, that you're not is bothering me so triggering me. To me.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. You were bothering me when you were asking me for pictures of my body, not when I'm trying to tell you or trying to get you to tell me what your name is or who you are or why you're doing this.
Or who
you're not bothering you. Me when I'm trying to get information from you. You were bothering me when you were trying to exploit me.
And it wouldn't have been anonymous because they clearly don't run a business. Like, businesses like that don't exist. And if they do, they're not fucking sorry. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was
if clearly- they do, it's an Instagram account that's, like, accepting, like, Venmos or something. But even that isn't anonymous. Even Venmo exactly. and Cash App and stuff isn't anonymous. So, like, how would you even be doing that?
I wish I knew. There's the story.
Well, that's how the story ends. And if you've ever been through something similar where you're like, I had a really terrible situation happen to me and it was really alarming and I don't know how to protect myself, but you need some resources, we have some of those for you.
We do. And then I have some additional ones that have helped me in the past.
Yay.
That we'll share after you talk about your slide.
Perfect. There's one more that I forgot to add, but I'll talk about it on social media. So one is the Victim Connect Resource Center. That is primarily online, the National Domestic Violence Hotline, also the National Sexual Assault Hotline. I believe you can reach both of those at 800-656-HOPE. Also, all three of these resources have easy exit features on their websites. So if you are in a domestic violence situation and you need to, like, have a sly way of, like, exiting out of a page because somebody's going to, like, look over your shoulder and see what you're looking up or something, you can actually just click that, like, quick exit button and it'll take you to, like, weather.com or, like, the Google home screen page or Facebook or something. That. So you don't have to worry if you're on one of those web pages, like, backing out and clearing your search history and all that stuff. So, but yeah, the best place to start is definitely local resources. So if you do have the time and, you know, whatever to Google, like mine would be Kansas City, but whatever's local to you is obviously going to be your best chance for getting, like, physical help as far as, like, assistance, getting a restraining order in your area or whatever it is. But if you can't find any resources local to you, or if they just won't help you, these are all great resources. And I'm sure the ones that you'll talk about, Val, are great resources too.
Yes. So if you are in, like, remotely close to Marietta, there is a place called Live Safe, and they help women and families and also elderly in case, you know, there's, like, an abuse situation. Mm-hmm. They help everyone. The doors are, like, very safe. I felt extremely safe when I went there to get my rape kit done. So they do stuff like that. They were so nice because I had a previous, like, kit situation where the doctor, I'll get into it later, just was an asshole. And not a good experience. So they, like, gave me food and, like, water, and they, aww, like, comforted me. And you can also get free therapy for, I think, a year or a year and a half after
incidents. Oh, that's so great.
Yes, which is where I started my therapy journey. I got extremely lucky. I loved my counselor right off the bat. And unfortunately, she went to go get more education. So, so that
didn't... Unfortunately, she's bettering herself.
And we joked about it because she was like, you know, you were pretty high risk when you came in at first, but now I'm just going to put you on the wait list. And I was like, can I be high risk? Like, but I mean, it was good. Like, she helped me, like, you know, through the worst of it. So anyways, they do provide stuff like that. And so I do believe they are known. I think they have other locations other than Marietta, Georgia. So if you are farther away, just look up Live Safe and see if there's one near you. I do believe it's like a national thing. So that's my resource because I love
that. I love that. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's it on for me on like this main topic.
Yeah.
I mean, I was mostly just along for the ride with you. They did like, you know, mention like that they knew they were aware I existed at least, but I wasn't like super concerned, you know, and
yeah.
I was mostly concerned for you and just like, oh my gosh, I hope Belle's going to be okay.
I'm okay. I'm
alive. But yeah, it's just something, you know, it was important for us to talk about after it happened, especially because it involved our podcast. And one of my friends who owns a small business was like, you need to talk about it like on your podcast and on like in your podcast, like community spaces, because if something like if they're targeting small podcasts and trying like if that's their role or that's their like motive or their game, then like other small podcasts need to know about that, you know?
True. Yeah.
So I thought that was a good point. And also the store, obviously like not involved in any way, great brand, great store, great.
I love them.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So don't like, they're not, weren't involved in any way. They actually posted to their story on Instagram saying like, if you received any weird text or DMs, like claiming to be us, we didn't send any out. Like, please don't send any information or pictures or money or anything to anybody claiming to be us. And so they were great. They did their due diligence and filed their own report. Mm-hmm. I called the Kansas City Police Department and they actually connected me to the sex crimes unit here. And that guy was like way more understanding. He couldn't do anything because again, we hadn't sent them pictures or money, but yeah, he was saying like that it didn't sound harmless. He said that he's heard of like so many different cases like that, that have all ended different ways where things are just, you know, he was like, I think you ladies are right to be like trying to call and see if there's anything that you can be doing about it just to do your due diligence and whatever. So I appreciated that, but he was very obviously like in a particular circumstance where he hears stories like that a lot, you know. I don't think like your average detective is like hearing those stories every day probably. So
it was very scary, but you know.
Yeah, still in both cases though, nothing could be done whether you were talking to like the more specialized person or not. Right. Like
you still couldn't do shit.
So yeah.
Good thing nothing happened.
But well, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. Our justice system in general is just, I freaking hate it. It needs to be all torn down, restarted. Like, I just can't even. Things like this shouldn't have to escalate to the point of actual stalking or actual. People shouldn't even be able to do this and get away with it and like feel like they can. Like, whoever did this could just do it again to somebody else and like would feel even more invincible next time.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get caught this time. And it's just so disappointing and it's so disheartening as a woman.
And, you know, like they could have, if they truly cared or had the capacity, instead of buying new cars, if they had somebody that could look into, like, call the phone company, where did the signal come from? Oh, this town and this
right.
state. Do you know anyone who lives in this town and this state? And I could use context clues and see where they're from. And if it was like a sex trafficking incident, they could go and do more investigating and solve a sex trafficking thing. So
yeah,
I just want to know.
Well, and Jason made a
that instead of like buying new ass cars and weapons and all this bullshit.
Right. Jason made a point where he was like, you know, why like trying their best to find out who did this. And then even if it wasn't a crime and even if they couldn't arrest them, letting them know that it made somebody feel uncomfortable and that they sought out the help of a public servant because of how uncomfortable they were. That is like, that's public service. It's not just arresting people. It's not just arresting people. It's not just filing reports. It's not just paperwork. It's protecting and serving your community. And if there is a young woman in your community who is saying that she's feeling harassed by somebody online who has her personal phone number and knows intimate parts of her life and is asking for pictures of her body, a public servant should be able to do something about that. And the fact that we live in a world where we have just this week, like, learned of another, like, high profile case of a cop killing a just totally innocent person. And even in the same place as George Floyd a year ago, like, it's just crazy that this is the system that people are, like, so willing to defend and want to, like, keep around. One that won't do anything when people are actually being exploited, but will, like, pull people over for expired tags and air fresheners in their car.
And there's the tea.
Bullshit. Or a world where traffic cops even have lethal weapons at all.
Or why? It's like okay for someone to reach for their taser and shoot someone and kill them.
Yeah. There was a tweet. I don't remember who it was. I'm so sorry. But it was something along the lines of like accidental misfire has another name and it's manslaughter. It's killing somebody. It's an accidental misfire. Whoops. When your gun fires and it ricochets off a building and everybody's like, "Woo, good thing that bullet landed in the ground." That's an accidental misfire that you should still have to reconcile with and still have repercussions for a job as a public servant who should know how to responsibly use that equipment. Like, that should be the only time you're able to say it's an accidental misfire. If it enters another human being's body, it's assault or manslaughter. Like, I don't understand. Assault with a deadly weapon or manslaughter. Why is it anything else?
Defund the police, ACAB.
Yeah, this is like, I feel like now we're just checking the box of like, did we go off on a random political rant for this episode? Yes. Check.
Check. At least it was at the end. So whoever hated us, like hates what we have to say, but just wanted to hear the story, they can just shut it off. Sorry.
Yeah. And honestly, it's fine. Like, I just don't, after so many different experiences, everybody's going to come to their own conclusions. You know, your life experiences are going to inform your conclusions, and our life experiences are going to inform ours. And Val and I just happen to have arrived at the same conclusion about these topics through our different informed life experiences. If you've come to a different conclusion,
good for you.
Nobody needs to berate anybody else. We can all just move on with our lives. And exactly. You can stop listening to this podcast when it starts to make you feel uncomfortable. So,
okay. So that being said,
we on Tuesday are going to have, you guys are going to be listening to this on Sunday. On Tuesday, we're going to have a really fun Would You Rather game for everybody to play. We're going to be posting like a question of the week or like a fun game for you to play that sort of hints at the topic we're recording about that day. And so you can kind of guess like, what are these Would You Rather questions? Like, what's their theme? What do they have to do with? What could the next episode be about as you're playing the Would You Rather game? So everybody enjoys that.
Did we have any responses to guess what the stalker story was?
I don't think that we did. I didn't see any. Did you?
No, we didn't. Nobody wanted to bite and guess.
I think everybody was just like on the edge of their seats. I know you got so many messages, and our podcast account got so many like messages and a couple comments. So
Okay, well, now you guys know.
This is a weird episode to try to sign out of, so I guess we'll just say let's just keep hanging on until Tuesday and
then do our plugs
be looking out for that game. Yeah. So if you want to see what my responses from my profile are going to be to the Would You Rather game, you can look for responses from at Allison R. Carpenter in that comment section on Tuesday. And that is at AllisonRCarpenter on Instagram, obviously. And then if you want to participate in that game, you can do that on our podcast Instagram at This Is 20 Pod at TwisisTwentyPod.
And then you can, this is the first time I don't have a closeout. Just go to my Instagram.
Only one of us is allowed to have a good one.
My Instagram is at val.byrnes. And it's val.burns. That's how you say it.
Report any information you might have about this stalker to
that Instagram account. Yes, message me if you know who the fuck did this so I can kick their ass.
Yeah. And let us know on Tuesday what your answers to those Would You Rathers are. I'm excited to play that game with everybody. We've been trying to be a lot more interactive on Instagram. So if you enjoy that type of thing. Yeah. But we'll talk to you all next week. And yeah, can't wait.